Okay, 7 o'clock. Time to call to order the Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors meeting for the August 5th. If you could stand up and let our Assistant General Manager lead us as he's got back from his military training. Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, roll call, please.
Roll call been taken. Let the record show. I'm extra present.
Thank you. This is the time for public comments. This is your opportunity to address the board about anything not on tonight's agenda. You'll have 3 minutes, and just keep in mind there won't be a dialogue, but we are listening. And if you stick around and have questions, I'm sure we'll get that answered at the end of the meeting. Is there anyone online with their hands up?
No hands raised.
Is there anyone in the audience that has a public comment? All right, seeing none, we'll close it and come move forward to the consent calendar.
I make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Belcher?
Aye.
Dr. Graham?
Aye.
Dr. Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Couto?
Aye. Carries. Okay, we'll move on to area agency reports. I see Claire in the audience. If you'd like to come up and hear from Diane Burgess' office.
Good evening. President Couto, Vice President Graves, and directors. For those who may not know, I'm Claire Alora, Deputy Chief of Staff for Supervisor Diane Burgess. I do have a short update with some news on District 3 regarding the Harbor Point apartment project in Discovery Bay. The Harbor Point applicant applied for affordable housing funds from the county, but the application was denied by a board action on May 19th. Supervisor Burgess made a motion and was fully supported by the full board to remove Harbor Point Project from a list of Measure X House funding recipients. The county has not awarded any funds to this project. The supervisor took this action after receiving many concerns from this project from residents and the Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors, which includes concerns about the lack of infrastructure, inadequate fire and police services, lack of access to public transportation, increases in traffic, and overcrowding in schools. Supervisor Burgess has and continues to share these concerns with the state leaders in both Senate and Assembly, the Governor's Office of External Affairs, as well as lobbyists. Sharing the same concerns about safety as well, she's brought this issue up at the Contra Costa Fire Protection District meetings too. I also have a report on the East County Service Center. I know I've mentioned it before, but a few more details. It's located on Technology Way in Brentwood. You may have seen it already coming up. And the building will extend services for 9 different county departments and aims to improve coordination across programs and make it easier for residents to access multiple services in a single visit. It's been designed with sustainability in mind. It includes both geothermal and solar power with a backup battery system, and a mass timber structure greatly reduces the carbon footprint compared to traditional building methods. This building is being designed not only as an open space, but also as a community hub. It will include public gathering spaces, conference and training rooms, and family-friendly features like a children's play area. The estimated cost of the $150 million building is funded by the county's capital reserve, with partial cost recovery expected from state and federal grants and program services housed in the new facility. Through responsible fiscal planning, disciplined savings, and long-term investment in our capital reserve, we can fund major infrastructures like this without compromising financial stability. Each year, the county contributes a portion of the general year-end fund savings to the capital reserve, and these funds are set aside specifically for such planned long-term capital investments. As I mentioned in my last update, the service center will also bring jobs to East County and reverse and or reduce commutes. In fact, 1/3 of the county employees in the 9 departments that are coming already live out here. So this opportunity will bring us one step closer to eliminating that longest commute in the nation title that comes from the Brentwood and East County area. And it is still projected to be completed in late 2027. The East County Youth Center is going to be located at Lone Tree and Windy Springs in Brentwood, and it's central to Antioch and the Oakley borders too. It's intended to serve the youth of all three cities and the unincorporated areas as well. This project is in the planning stage, and Supervisor Burgess continues to work with the adjacent neighbors to address any concerns and needs of the neighborhood. Supervisor Burgess also continues to support the county fire response, with Station 94 underway in downtown Brentwood. The goal for completion is the end of this year or beginning of 2027. Station 90 in Brentwood and at Lone Tree Way and Windy Springs Lane will be a much needed addition to assisting neighbors, neighboring cities and the unincorporated areas of the district to receive faster fire and medical responses as well. The Byron Wildland Fire Training Center, which you know opened in 2024, continues to be a vital source of support for our fire stations. The helicopter program, which operates out of the training center, provides invaluable service to fight fires from above quickly and effectively. And Hand Crew 12 works year-round on fuel work and fire suppression to support our response crews. At the moment, with the neighboring states of Oregon and Washington experiencing a very severe fire season, Hand Crew 12 has been deployed to Leavenworth, Washington State to help with the Little Giant Fire. This assignment does not impact our coverage levels at home, and there's still a hand crew available in the county for emergency response. Thank you for the time and the opportunity to update. If you have any questions, I'm available. Yes.
Two questions for you. One, for the building that's going in Oakley, I think you said?
We have East County Center going up in Brentwood and then the Service Center also in Brentwood.
Yeah. Is the VA going to have?
The East County Service Centers will have veteran services.
We'll have veterans. Okay, and what services will they have? Do you know?
I do have a list of the other services. Let me grab that. It's a total of 9 departments. So Employment and Human Services, Contra Costa Health, the District Attorney and Public Defender, Probation, County Clerk Recorder and Registrar of Voters, Veteran Services, Department of Information and Technology, and of course, our District 3 Supervisor's Office.
At some point, if you could just tell me, I'll send you a text to remind you, but just what the VA services, what that entails.
Sure, I can give you, I can refer you to all of the services that they would provide.
Okay. And then my second question is, I've gotten like 4 different answers from, I haven't asked the right person, what is going in on Bixler across from Safeway, down farther, down going towards the fire center. There's the orange fencing and there's been a large equipment out there. Dude.
I don't know. I have not personally.
I've heard 2 comments on that. One of them, somebody said, is it going to be a storage unit? And but somebody also said it's going to be a solar farm. I do know that they were looking to put a solar farm on Rec 800 property over there. Rec 800 couldn't make it work, so I don't know which direction to go, but it's one or the other.
Right, and then a third I was told was there's going to be a very small neighborhood of very large houses going in.
So I can look.
I don't know what is.
I can do some digging and try to find that out for you.
You find out.
So you said what was the location, Bixler, across from?
Yeah, on the same side. If you turn left onto Bixler. Off of Highway 4, you can see it right on the left. Okay. It's going down towards the fire center.
It's like right across from the
storage
center, right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I will find that out, and I'll also send you the veteran services. Anything else?
Thank you for the district's support on the housing.
Oh, yes. I will let Supervisor know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving forward to Sheriff's Office. Lieutenant
White. Good evening, Board. Thanks again for having me. Before I forget, in reference to that property, I also did hear a RV boat storage and potential like RV hookups. They're going to be running in there. So like a campground maybe. Mm. So don't know for sure though. Could be a solar property. I don't know. But I did hear the same thing.
I've heard both.
Yeah.
And I feel like we need a bingo card at this point.
Right?
And I read it on the internet. It's gotta be true.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know my source. I don't remember, but all right. So for the month of July, there were 418 calls for service in Discovery Bay. Deputies took 40 reports and made 4 arrests. I don't have a whole lot for you guys tonight. Last night was National Night Out. Pretty cool, fun event. We had 2 events here in Discovery Bay. Both were in the lakes. One was with like an annual event we do with the Boy Scouts. So the Boy Scouts from the lakes come over and their families and all their siblings come. We all hang out, eat ice cream, have a good time. So it was a good event last night. The Delta Blitz, as you know, happened last weekend. I did request the stats for Marine Patrol. I haven't compiled them yet. So hopefully by next month's meeting, I'll have those stats for you guys.
There was a lot of them out in the water.
Yeah.
But like we saw some from Richmond. I mean, there was a ton.
Yeah, they come from everywhere.
Yeah.
So once I do get those stats, I'll be able to report. Hopefully they'll be done by next month. So I'll be hopefully to get you guys those next month. That's all I have. Any questions?
You.
All right. Thanks, guys.
I don't see one from the Highway Patrol, and I don't see anyone from Confer. So then we'll move forward to our presentations. We have Margaret online.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you so much. I'm here to introduce our audit principal with CLA. They are our auditors that are conducting the fiscal year 2026 audit for the town of Discovery Bay. This presentation was provided at the Finance Committee. So for those that were attending there, you'll hear it again. But for the rest of the board members, we wanted to make sure you also heard what is coming through for the annual audit. And with that, I turn it over to Daphne Munoz, principal with CLA.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Good evening, Madam Chair and members of the board. Again, I'm Daphne Munoz, and I am a principal at Clifton Larson Allen, and I am here tonight to present our audit planning for the year ended June 30, 2026. Next slide, please. I'm going to go over about like three main topics. I'm going to go over our audit of scope and process, and then our timeline, our plan, and everyone's responsibilities. And then I'm just going to go over some of the new GASB pronouncements that the town has to implement and the one that is in the pipeline. Next slide, please. So for our scope, we are performing a financial statement audit, and we will be expressing an opinion on the financials in accordance with GAAP. In relation to that financial audit, we will review the internal controls over financial reporting and compliance in accordance with government auditing standards, and we'll update our understanding of internal controls over financial reporting. At the end of the audit, in addition to the opinion that we will be providing, we will be also providing an audit governance communication, which is required by our professional standards. And we will also issue a report on internal controls, whether we have a finding or not. We are not providing an opinion, though, but if we have recommendations, it will be in that report. As for some non-audit services that we will be providing, we may or may not propose adjusting or correcting journal entries, just depending on the results of our audit. We will also be providing assistance with adopting new accounting standards, and we will also provide assistance with the preparation of the Special District's Financial Transaction Report, commonly referred to as the SCO report, to the State Controller's Office. Next slide, please. So this kind of shows the timeline of our of the entire audit engagement. We normally have three phases, which is first is the interim phase, which is normally in July. That's when we do our preliminary procedures, and that's in June and July. That's where we update our understanding of internal controls. We do our interview. We do some tests of controls just to make sure that to see if the controls as represented to us were operating in accordance with town's policies and procedures. And then in August and September, this is when we do our final fieldwork, and this is where we do year-end audit. We review year-end balances and do substantive testing, such as confirmations of all bank accounts to financials, confirming them from financial institutions, as well as confirming debt balances. And we do some vouching of subsequent receipts for receivables and subsequent disbursements for payables. And we also do some inquiries and other procedures, which will include reaching out to outside to legal counsel for any, if there are any contingencies that needs to be disclosed in the financial statements. And then the last phase is the financial reporting, and we expect to issue and our report in November with, I believe, the planned presentation for the first meeting for the meeting in December. Next slide, please. So for the responsibilities, for those charged with governance, the responsibility is really to provide strategic direction and provide accountability, including in the financial reporting. As far as management is responsible for providing, for adopting internal controls over financial reporting, as well as adopting accounting policies and management, making management decisions over those policies. The financial statements really is the responsibility of management, that fair presentation of those financial statements. Although we do assist in the preparation of the financial statements, ultimately the responsibility for those statements relies on the management. And also management is responsible for adopting programs to prevent and detect fraud. Our responsibilities as auditors is to, first and foremost, is to provide an opinion on the fair presentation of the financial statements, whether they are presented in all material respects in accordance with the US GAAP. And we will be conducting our audit in accordance with generally accepted auditing standards as well as government auditing standards. We plan our audit to provide reasonable but not absolute assurance, and not absolute because we are not testing 100% of the transactions that happen during the year. Our audit is based on a test basis. Again, we'll be understanding, part of that is the understanding the internal controls, and based on our understanding of internal controls, we do our audit on what we call a risk-based approach. Next slide, please. So what we request from those charged with governance, if you have any areas of focus or that you are that you have any concerns, any individual accounts or transactions, any processes or controls, if there are any known litigations or operations, any knowledge of fraud, please do reach out to us. Or if there's just anything that you think are related to financial reporting that is of concern, you have my contact information here, as well as if you can just reach out, if you want to reach out to, you can reach out to me directly or reach out through Margaret. Next slide, please. So the next three slides, just talking about the new upcoming Governmental Accounting Standards Board statements. First is the financial reporting model improvements. There's just some changes to the way the financial statements are presented. The management discussion and analysis will now just require a little bit more explanation to provide more consistency among agencies. And there are just some definition of unusual, what is unusual or infrequent items. The presentation of the propriety fund statements are going to change a little bit, especially the statement of revenues and expenses. It added two new categories, and the next two bullet point is really not going to affect the town. Next slide, please. GASB 104 is the disclosure of certain capital assets. It provides some guidance on capital assets disclosure, such as if there's capital assets that are held for sale at the end of the year, those are now have to be disclosed separately, and also provide some guidance on separately for leased assets and subscription assets. Next slide, please. And lastly, GASB 105, which is not effective this year, but next year, it just clarifies some the definition for subsequent event and what qualifies a subsequent event that is required for non-disclosure. And that concludes my presentation. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Well, I have a question for you, Margaret. Sometimes I'm a little on the slow side. Can you help me understand exactly what Daphne's role is? Is she basically auditing our financials that you're putting forward, or is she doing something for you in a different capacity? I guess I just kind of got lost a little bit in the presentation.
Sure, absolutely. So we put together the information throughout the year with our transactions, revenues, and expenses, and put forth what we believed our financial statements should look like at the end of the fiscal year. And she's coming in to validate that the information that I'm sharing is accurate. So it's giving a third party view, and that third party view is it provides comfort to you as a board, to you as the constituent, to a rating agency or others that may be looking at us. The other part of their role is to make sure that if I say I'm going to do A, B, and C, do I do A, B, and C? And if not, why is the reason for that? And is there any recommendations that they would provide to us to ensure that, again, that we're presenting our information in a fair way? So, because again, it might be, internal controls might be that, I don't have enough people on hand to one person to do a transaction and another one to validate that information. So they might have some recommendations towards that. So ultimately, we have the information. She's just validating that information, and they do that through confirmations to third parties, if you will. They do it by looking at our source documents, and they also do it by analytics where they look at variances and they see if that makes sense in light of what might be shared in board minutes or other kind of conversations.
Perfect. Thank you. Is there any more questions on board? Is there an action item with this?
No, it was just a presentation just to provide you an awareness of that coming through.
Very good. I don't have any other questions unless the board does, and I'm not hearing any. So thank you.
Thank you, Daphne.
Thank you.
Margaret, you're on again for looks at capacity and connection.
Yes. So what I have for you today is an annual report that's required to share with you. This annual report provides you information as associated with the capacity and connection fees. So this is information that is not necessarily budgeted for because we don't know what anticipated the amounts that we might receive from developers, but the information here provides you an accounting of that information. So during the year, we received 263,000 of water capacity charges, 5,000 of water connection. Water wastewater capacity is 688, I'm sorry, 668,000, and a water wastewater connection of 5,000. In addition to that, we received fees of about $21,000 that is required for the submission. And so those are all being accounted for. The monies that we do receive are set aside within our capital reserve fund so that we can use them for future capital projects, and that information is shared with you. The final thing I'll share is that there were no funds that were expended from that reserve fund, and so that will be used for future capital projects. And with that concludes my report.
Any questions from the board?
We heard it in finance and both agreed it was good.
Okay. Let's open up any public comments.
There are no hands raised.
Anyone in the audience? Seeing none. We'll bring it back to the board. Is that an action item for the
Yeah.
report?
I move staff's recommendation.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Aye. Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Goodtoe?
Aye. Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you.
And then we'll move forward to G2. Stephen.
All right, good evening. So before you for G2 is discussion and possible action to adopt resolution 2026-11, rescinding the Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors Policy 16, which is the introductory period for new employees. On January 2nd, 2013, the Board of Directors adopted resolution number 2013-01, which established a 180-day introductory period for newly hired employees. The board also adopted policy number 16, which codified that introductory period requirement. Staff has completed a comprehensive review of the district's resolutions and policies to eliminate duplicate or obsolete documents, and the provisions contained in Resolution 2013-01 or Policy 16 have since been incorporated into our newly adopted Policy 005 or the Personnel Manual. As a result, the adoption of the proposed resolution tonight will rescind resolution 2013-01 and repeal policy number 16, eliminating duplicative governance documents while maintaining that 180-day probationary period for employees in the personnel manual. Happy to answer any questions.
Any public comments? Seeing none in the audience, bring it back to the board for discussion and or action.
Internal ops discussed this today and agreed that it made sense. It's basically just taking duplications away.
It's an important tool to have for the town for employees. And so my understanding is that if it was to be changed in the personnel manual, it would still need to come before the board for any additional changes. I know that's been discussed in other places. I just wanted to make sure it was on record.
Absolutely.
I make a motion to approve staff's recommendations. I second that.
Roll call, please.
Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Aye. President Graves?
Aye.
President Gutto?
Motion carries. Seeming you got another one here for
yes.
Another resolution.
Yes, item G3 is discussion and possible action to adopt resolution 2026-10, rescinding the Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors policy 24, which is the use of town equipment for local nonprofits. On September 2nd, 2015, the Board of Directors adopted resolution number 2015-16, establishing policy number 24, which authorized the use of certain district-owned equipment by qualifying local nonprofit organizations for community events. Staff has reviewed the district's existing board policies and determined that policy number 24 is no longer necessary and does not reflect the district's current operational practices. The district no longer wishes to maintain a formal program allowing outside organizations to use district-owned equipment. As a result, adoption of the proposed resolution will rescind resolution 2015-16 and formally repeal policy 24 and remove it from our policy manual. I'll stop there for any questions.
Does it still leave the discretion of the general manager to, if he wants to, or he to loan out equipment? Or
it does, yeah. So if folks are renting a facility and they request the use of a particular piece of equipment, it would be at the discretion of the general manager or the board, depending on how we're handling that application, to either include that and also be able to potentially charge a fee for that rental versus being kind of bound by what's in here currently.
Will the organizations that frequently have used our equipment be notified of this policy change? I don't know if there are any.
That's not necessarily a plan that we had. My understanding is we haven't really utilized this policy in about 4 or 5 years. Is the last time that anyone's taken advantage of this. So I don't think it's utilized too often currently.
Okay, that's good.
I just so I'm clear, I didn't realize that there was actually an official policy. I know that we have done that in the past, and it goes way back from before any of us were even aware of it, but would it completely forbid? No, but it would just be it doesn't forbid it. It just takes that policy out of play.
That is correct.
The books.
This essentially gives it by right.
Like I said, I wasn't even aware that we had officially, I'm sure I must have voted for it at one time, but I don't remember. I don't remember that there being a specific policy. So I don't have any problem with it.
But I think there was some discussion about, and to note that it would be under a contractual basis that the equipment would be.
Correct. Yeah. If we're going to rent out any of our facilities, the use of that facility and any subsequent equipment, lighting towers or anything like that, if we so choose to allow that, they're going to be bound by liability and everything else as part of that rental application. Versus this means they could come now, ask for the use of the light tower to be taken wherever their event may be with no kind of recourse for the town necessarily.
I think that's an important distinction.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. If there's another question, we'll open it to public comments.
No hands raised.
Anyone in the audience? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board for action or further discussion.
Again, this went in front of internal ops, and we felt like it was good to bring the board and approve it.
Is that a motion?
That's a motion to approve staff's recommendation.
Second. Roll call, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Porter?
Aye.
Graves?
Aye.
All right, very good. Thank you, Stephen. Do we have any manager's reports?
None this evening.
General's managers?
None this evening.
How about directors? I know we had a couple committee meetings.
Let's say I'll let you do the internal ops.
Oh, well, two of the items were on the agenda tonight. So those were discussed and approved. So I won't go into those. There was some discussion regarding term limits for the district, the positions here, the director positions, and that it would be, yes, thank you. It would be expensive for it to be put on the ballot. So we are going to push that for an agenda item for discussion in the greater group to go forward. And let's see.
When you say expensive, last time we looked into it, it was about 40,000. Is that?
That's what staff has come up as the same. And then also there was some discussion about, that was on the previous one. I think that was it. Was there anything else?
No, I think, that was it. Okay. And we can do finance.
Finance committee, we, you reviewed some of the, as with the other committee, you reviewed a couple of the items that came to us. We do receive a bi-monthly finance presentation that's fairly in-depth. From Margaret, which is very comprehensive, that gives us an idea of just where we are. We have a lot of big projects coming up. There's going to be a lot of decisions coming to the board here pretty soon. The good news is that our reserves are there to accommodate those as we speak. And then staff is going to be working together with our finance and what other consultants we need to see if we have to have any debt service for some of these projects because they're extremely expensive. As our infrastructure starts to age, we need to address that. And we don't have any details. I'm not keeping anything from you. I don't know anything at this point other than the fact that it is fortunate that we have one of the things about kicking the can a year or two down the road is you tend to build up some reserves. And so we have a good financial position. And we continue to protect that to make sure that our bond rating stays where it needs to be and those kind of things. That's all.
Do you want to say anything about your LAFCO meeting?
That was last week months.
Okay. Do we have any correspondence? Do we have a legal report?
I'd just like to apologize for my tardiness. I was coming west to east and didn't calculate the time appropriately, so that's on me.
It was a bridge that they got closed down out here.
No, I was coming from over the hill this way.
Oh, you weren't used to that traffic pattern.
I usually come east.
Yeah. New traffic pattern for you.
And some closures over in Byron area.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Surprise.
I'm glad you're here. And you didn't miss much. Except for the Pledge of Allegiance, so. Any future agenda items? And then 7:33, manager.